listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Denver Broncos sitting at 2-2, coming off a loss to the Raiders. Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, a lot of high hopes in Denver. You know what? 2-2, not a bad record, but what exactly is not quite right of what's going on in the Mile High City? Nick Ferguson joins us, former Bronco. Catches podcast, Touchdown Denver, joins us on a Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit us for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well, Tony.
All right, let's go back to the offseason. Let's go to the Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett marriage and bringing that all together. Set the scene for us, because we all know about how desperate Denver was for a franchise quarterback. But Nathaniel Hackett, how excited were people about him? Were they hesitant? Was there a waiting period on embracing, or did they embrace him immediately?
Well, there was somewhat of a waiting period because at the time that the interviews were taking place, Nathaniel Hackett wasn't the solidified guy. Everyone thought it was going to be Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. And once Nathaniel Hackett was signed off as being the next guy, obviously the talk once sped up about Aaron Rodgers, but that didn't happen. But everyone still was excited. They wanted to get past the Vic Fangio era. And then it was like, well, what is this coach going to usher in? No, we don't get Aaron Rodgers. But what's going to be our secret Santa Christmas gift? And then everyone unwrapped it and we found out and everyone was surprised. Hey, it was Russell Wilson. So now it's like, hey, I mean, last year, over the past 3 years, rather, we're not great. Now we have a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. We have a guy who spent some time with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. So this should be a marriage made in heaven. But it hasn't really been exactly that, Tony, over the past couple of games, even though the Broncos are sitting now at 2-2. The Broncos offense has had their struggles, and it has frustrated a lot of individuals here in Broncos country.
I've been using the analogy this week that Russell Wilson reminds me of a jack-in-the-box. You keep spinning it, maybe, and soon that thing, it should pop up and surprise you. Every now and then I see Russell Wilson run for a first down, throw the ball to K.J. Hamler down the field like he did against the Raiders. There's a little bit of pop, but what overall is preventing the explosion of points that Denver wants to see?
Well, it is that the chemistry still is a work in progress. And everyone goes back to the Broncos players not playing in preseason as a reason why. But I will say this. When this same offense was implemented in Green Bay under Matt LaFleur with Aaron Rodgers, he struggled for a little. And the reason why that happens is because this offense is utilized a lot in the NFL, but the verbiage that's used, that's where it becomes really difficult, because the personnel groupings, they're never going to change. The route combinations, they're never going to change. But what happens are the adjustments and the verbiage, and it takes some time for guys to get that down. And I go back to when Peyton Manning first arrived here and Gary Kubiak was the head coach. It took him some time, and even the great Peyton Manning struggled trying to grasp that offense, so much so that Kubiak had to bring some of the old Colts philosophies to the offense to make Peyton comfortable. So that's kind of what we're seeing. But also, when I look at the scheme and how it's implemented, I'm not seeing, you know, levels as far as attacking the field. Last night, the Rams against the 49ers, Kyle knows this offense, you know, hands down. He was part of it in Washington. His father helped build this offense. But you look at some of the things that they do pre-snap. There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of shift. They try to create those rush lanes that open space down the field to throw the ball. I'm not really seeing that just yet with Nathaniel Hackett's offense.
How surprising, as a former player, are you with some of the mistakes Nathaniel Hackett has made early in the season, just basic decision-making?
I'm not surprised. Well, once again, think about when you were young and you were learning to drive for the first time, right? It looked great. You know, you saw the people on the road driving, but when you got yourself behind that driver's wheel, you made some subtle mistakes yourself, maybe cruising past a stop sign or something like that. So that's where I look at this situation with Nathaniel Hackett, right? This is his first time being a head coach, and now he's trying to be a head coach, offensive coordinator, and delegate all the responsibilities to his team. This is where he needs to fall back just a little and allow the guys that he hired to coach to do their jobs. Now, if it's someone that he feels as though is not adequate at doing their job, maybe bring someone else in, now relieve someone of their duty. But that is what I'm seeing right now as a reason why he is having his early issues.
There are head coaches with experience that go to other teams and don't do well, and there are assistants that come up and do very well. Everybody's got to have a start sometime. But with the Broncos in this whole, even in this national news that they had not made the playoffs since winning the Super Bowl, was it wise to entrust the team with an assistant with no previous head coaching experience, knowing that Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio didn't have it either? Or would it have been better to say, even though we're not 100% sure this is working out, I'd rather have somebody that has been through a lot of being a head coach to run this team because we are desperate to get back to the postseason?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, the interview process. What did each one of those guys say in those meetings to George Payton and his gang or host of five of the people that helped come up and make up the decision and have Nathaniel Hackett be the head coach? I think that's where you really start with the nuts and bolts there. But there must have been something special that he said in that room. And being around a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you have to figure that had to help out a lot in him getting this job as far as how he dealt with Aaron in those tough situations, how he was going to, or his vision of what this offense and the team was going to look like. But I still say this, Tony, it still is a work in progress. Sometimes as a fan base here in Denver, you know, they're so used to winning. And after the past 6 years under Vic Fangio, I mean, it's almost like for them, they were sold a bill of goods, and those goods have not come to fruition just yet. But it's just like it's still early in the process, and Nathaniel Hackett has time to try to turn this thing around.
All right, Javonte Williams is out. What does that mean for the running game? I guess Melvin Gordon's going to get carrying the load here?
Well, you know what? It may be running back by committee because of this week, short week, playing the Colts on Thursday Night Football. It may be Melvin Gordon and Mike Broom, but the Broncos just signed Latavius Murray off the Saints practice roster, and it's going to take some time to get him up to speed. Seldom do you see, like in today's game, where you sign guys like this and it's a Thursday night game that you're able to get there and prepare. But Latavius Murray, we've seen him run in this league. We actually, if you paid attention on Sunday, he ran well against the Minnesota Vikings. So that's kind of the movement, you know, idea moving forward. But we'll see if they decide to go and try to pull up any other running backs.
I got to think that Russell Wilson is very aware of the story that has been coming out about his dissatisfaction with the way it was run in Seattle. So I'm sure he's measuring his words carefully. But how has he been in four games where the offense hasn't popped the way he wants?
Well, you know, he's been classic Russ to me. And what's crazy, Tony, is that Russ gets criticized a lot for being who he is because they're saying, hey, listen, this guy can't be this upbeat all the time. So when you don't win against the Raiders, there were fans who were hoping that he would come to the podium and say something about the offense, say something about the drops, say something about Melvin Gordon fumbling the ball. But he was classic Russ. He's always going to be upbeat. He's always going to talk about his players and uplift them and talk about moving on to the next game and what they need to do. But that's what you have to do as if you are a leader. I mean, in this game, there's so many criticisms coming from the outside. You don't need that division inside. So this is exactly what we expected Russ to be, and this is what this team needs Russ to do moving forward.
All right, we've known that the Broncos have had some really good defenses over the past years, despite not making the playoffs. The 32 points that the Raiders scored on them, I know one was a defensive touchdown that they returned a fumble for a score. But overall, the full body of work, how is the Denver defense?
Well, the defense took a step back in the game against the Raiders, obviously. But coming into the game, they were one of the top defensive units in the group. And watching Josh Jacobs rush for 144 yards, that had to be demoralizing for the defense to know that, hey, for the first 3 weeks, we were in the top five as far as not giving up that many rush yards. I think they were giving up maybe on average, maybe 76 yards per game. But then you go out there, miss tackles, guys out of the gap. And then now when the defense was required to get a stop, that's all they needed, maybe one or two stops here and there, they could not get that stop. So I know there are a lot of national and local people who are down on this team. And for me, being the guy that coached and played in this league, it's a matter of fine tuning certain things. And knowing as though there's a possibility on a short week, you might get Justin Simmons back. That should be able to help some of the issues that they were having as far as had given up those leaky runs to Josh Jacobs.
Do you see, Nick, and I'm asking you to look at this large picture here. Do you see an offense that can just pop out of nowhere in one game? We're getting three touchdowns from Wilson, maybe one on the ground, and a 35-13 kind of win. Do you see that, or is there so many issues, just little issues, that just all need to be worked out before that ever happens?
Yeah, I mean, they do have the capability, Tony, because they do have the players. It's just a matter of doing it and executing it on the field. I mean, for the first time this season, we saw Russell look like Russell. We saw K.J. Hamler, who hadn't played in a while due to a hip and a knee injury, catch a 55-yard play, which almost resulted into a touchdown. We continue to see Jerry Jeudy take stride, and Cortland Sutton is just one of the best third-down receivers that the Broncos had, not just at the Broncos, but in the league at this time. So this team has the capabilities, but it's just those self-inflicting wounds. It is those costly penalties, either on special teams, defense, or on offense, that's holding this team back. And that is where they have to grow up and they have to mature for what you described to actually take place.
And it's been in my time when I was in Denver, I was really impressed with the organization from the standpoint of, You have these years that kind of go away, and then maybe you don't get a break here or there. Maybe the season doesn't go your way, but the Broncos were always one of those teams that were never really out of it. And then these last couple of years, where they just could not find a quarterback, for a fan base is dedicated to their team. I mean, that's a city that just won a Stanley Cup, for crying out loud, and yet the Broncos still move the needle there. It must be refreshing to have at least this stuff in place to see where it works out, rather than quarterbacks that are coming in to get a second chance and then not working out.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a turnstile of quarterbacks over the past couple of years. I used to call it speed dating from a quarterback position, but now, Tony, you don't have to worry about that anymore. But I that's one of the reasons the fan base is so frustrated, because when they found out that Russell Wilson was coming here, the level of excitement just kind of went out of the roof, sort of like with that feeling when Peyton Manning first arrived here. But they were expecting something more. And for me, that's what I'm trying to tell them, to temper their expectations, because it is a work in progress. You have Nathaniel Hackett, once again, who is a play caller in my mind for the first time, and he's a head coach, and he's trying to manage the situation with Russell. And sometimes it doesn't really gel right off the bat. But over time, things do come together. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some issues that they have to work through, but there are a lot of teams in the NFL that are working through similar issues. But here in Broncos country, their level of expectations are so high that it puts so much pressure on the person who's the head coach, but more importantly, the person who's on the center at the quarterback position.
Nick Ferguson, former Bronco, again joining us from the Mile High City. Touchdown Denver is the podcast. Thank you so much, my friend. I really do appreciate it. I hope we catch up with you again, my man.
Appreciate you, Tony.
You got it. Nick Ferguson, again, joining us. And again, you can find him on Twitter at @NickFerguson_25. And again, his podcast, Touchdown Denver. All right, we'll continue as we wrap up this hour on Wake Up Call.